This is an ABC podcast.
You're with Amber and Sabrina for Roots and Shoots Gardening on 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
This is where you come to be told to only prune it by 30%.
Unless
where you come if you print it too much and you're in the doghouse. Yeah.
It's also where you come if you want to know what's the best tree to put wherever.
That's right.
Or even if you want to know what a caterpillar does on a sunny day. You know the intro, that ding 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 ding. In my head, I imagine a caterpillar, a looping caterpillar with clasping anal glands,
Probes.
Anal legs,
yes.
Doing the loop up and down on a leaf of a vegetable and being terribly happy with itself.
Yeah, I think if we could just all be the inchworm.
Yeah.
Is that an inchworm that I'm
Well, that's about? Where the song comes from, yeah. The looping caterpillar with its anal claspers. They didn't include that in the song, though, which I really think is a grave pity.
What rhymes with anal claspers?
You chew with your raspers.
You have arrived not a minute too soon.
I'm going to write a children's book, like a proper one for kiddies.
The very hungry anal claspers.
Who only chewed with their raspers.
1300 221 0025 is the number that you need to call if you have a question for this brilliant human being who's sitting next to me. I'm just going to hope there's a couple of photographs here.
Ooh, yeah.
Sarah in Kalamunda says, I probably unwisely bought a mango about 3 months ago. It's in a large container and bubble wrapped, but clearly not happy. What to do? The stem tips are black.
Oh, I think the bubble wrap. May have been a little bit too close to the leaves, but also it has definitely been overwatered and it is rotting. You need to dry it out. I would cut the top third off the mango, 30% off its head, even though it's only a little tacker. Sarah, you get frost in Kalamunda. It actually could be frost burn.
Ah, there we go. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Remember, they are a tropical tree and they don't like the old ice crystals forming on the leaves.
There we go. Harry is in Bacchus Marsh.
Oh, Bacchus Marsh.
So, nice to hear from our national audience. Hi, Harry.
Hi, how are you?
Can I tell you how someone has spelt Bacchus Marsh? Marsh. I don't know if it's someone, it's spelled B-A-C-C-H-E-R-S.
Bacchus Marsh.
And Asher is just saying it wasn't me. So, like, we know you are named after the god of wine and food and all of that thing.
Yeah.
Yes. What's going on with your garden in Bacchus Marsh?
Yes, I sent a couple of photos. I'm not sure if it's come through. One is I have got on my nature strip an acacia leprosa.
Oh, yeah, that'll be the thing that just sticks with the odd leaf on it. Yep.
Yeah, I lost. It was looking very healthy towards end of last summer.
Yeah.
And then it lost virtually most of its leaves.
Mm.
And it's gone, it went yellow and lost most of its leaves.
Yeah.
But it's got a lot of the flowers coming up now.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure whether it's still alive and I can save it.
Can you do a pH test on the soil, Harry, and just see if the soil is too acidic? And if it is, you'll need to put some dolomite lime in the soil. I don't know what the soil's like in Bacchus Marsh. Now, when it finishes flowering, I want you to prune 50% off.
Okay. Yep.
And get rid of the mulch around the stem, around the base of the trunk of the tree.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
I got the grass going up there. It keeps coming up. I keep pulling them out, but it keeps coming up, yeah.
Yeah, keep pulling it out. But make sure you get the grass and the mulch away from the trunk.
Okay. Mm. And do I need to fertilize it with anything?
Well, I wouldn't stress it any more than what it is at the moment. Definitely after flowering and pruning, you can fertilize it, Harry.
Okay, yeah. And the other question I have is, I sent another photo as well. It's my Hakea pincushion.
Yeah.
It's actually on, it's 4 years old roughly. It's up to 2 meters tall.
Mm-hmm.
It's looking healthy, but has never flowered. But again, it's against the fence and it's only started to getting the sun.
Yeah, it'll be a sunshine problem. Once it gets up and its little head reaches more of the sun, you should start getting flowers, Harry.
Okay. No worries.
It looks healthy enough. So, yeah, it's just sunlight reaching for the gods.
Harry, thanks for that and commiserations
Thank you so much.
Live in Victoria. Thanks for calling. What a guy. Ross is in Mount Lawley. Hi, Ross. What's your question for Sabrina?
Good morning, ladies. Yeah, look, I've got some issues with gall wasps and my citrus.
Yep.
And around the neighbourhood, you know, it's all the usual symptoms. There's a few trees that have got them. But I've been walking around the neighbourhood, actually, and I've seen some citrus that have got some fruit fly like traps on them.
Yeah.
Is that a solution for them?
No. It is a fruit fly. So I know DPIRD are putting around in the Mount Lawley area, they're putting around the Q fly, the Queensland fruit fly lures and traps. And that's probably what you're seeing. Then, of course, we have the Mediterranean fruit fly. But that will not attract the wasps at all. So that's going to be useless for now. Every time I mention what you have to do, because at the moment you will see the galls, but there will be no exit holes. The big time of gall wasp penetration of egg laying is going to come in spring, and I reckon it'll be early this year, so rather than September, probably come in August. Once you see the exit holes, it's too late to do anything.
Mm.
So if you see any swellings and there's no exit holes, prune those galls off now.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing.
Yeah. The problem is, of course, Ross, there's so many. Now, some people reckon that the clay, packing the clay around the gall helps. To my knowledge and the friends that have done that, it has not deterred the gall wasp. People have written in from Victoria and said that they used it and it worked. So it's worth a shot. And if you've got gall wasp in all the citrus all around your neighbourhood, highly unlikely you're going to be able to get rid of it.
Mm, okay, so I just keep cutting.
Sorry, Ross.
Okay, well, I'm still getting some lime, so I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks.
Okay.
I just thought I'd ask.
Sorry, Ross.
Thanks, Ross.
No, you're right.
Pete's in Mandurah. Hi, Pete. What's your question for Sab?
Oh, good morning, ladies. How are you going?
Yeah, good, Pete.
Good on you. Sabrina, I've just cut down about a 70-metre tall tuet.
Wowzers.
I've got a disease, unfortunately.
Yep.
I've cut it back. There's about 10 metres or so of the trunk left. As you can understand, it's quite a large trunk.
Yeah.
About three legs on the top of that. I'm thinking you're putting a creeper grow up at Sabrina, or what I want to do so I can have little birds nesting and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's a lovely idea.
I'm just after some hints, Sabrina.
Okay, so there's a few things you can put up. There's a beautiful pandorea, which is a shocking weed in the hills, but in Mandurah it's not going to get away, and it's called Ruby Bells. It's a hybrid and it's sterile. Yep.
Okay.
So there's that one. Then there's the Happy Wanderer will not get big enough, so the native wisteria is not going to be any good. There's Canadia nigricans.
How do you spell Canadia?
K-E-N-N-E-D-I-A.
Right.
And it has a black pea flower and the native bees love it. And it's got pollen in it. If you want little nectar feeders, then I would put in the purple honeysuckle, which is Lonicera japonica purpurea.
Righto.
Yep.
Okay.
They would be my pick.
Beautiful.
Pete, good luck with that.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Tina is in Menorah. Hi, Tina. What's your question for Sab?
Good morning, hydrangeas.
Yes, ooh, Tina.
Like about 10 hydrangeas in pots.
Yeah.
And they're all looking terrible.
Yeah.
And they need to go in the ground. I've got two choices, near a mulberry tree, which has got shade, and then between a big agonis, a peppermint tree, and the lemon-scented gum, and another native, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it near the gum trees.
Oh, okay, right.
Now you're in Menorah. You're in Menorah.
Gutless sand.
Yeah. Do you know what I would do, Tina? I would keep them in pots.
Don't think they're going to survive in the pot.
Oh, aren't they? Okay, well, look, okay. Look. What you need to do is you need to dig a dirty big hole.
Yep.
You need to put in some biochar and get potting mix that's made for blueberries. You can buy blueberry potting mix because it's acidic.
Oh, okay.
So you're going to dig a dirty big hole. You're going to get bags of the blueberry potting mix and you're going to mix 2/3 potting mix and 1/3 compost. And then
can that be your homemade compost? Or does
homemade compost is fine. Then you are going to get a bag of cow manure and that's going to be your mulch on top.
Oh, okay.
And then you're going to get a thing of aluminium sulfate, or they call it, the name that they give it generally is bluing tonic for hydrangeas.
Oh.
Yeah, it's ammonium sulfate.
Will that affect the ones that are pink and white? And
So your hydrangeas will always be pink unless you use that and you want them to be blue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So all those things.
Oh, sorry, what was it? Aluminium what?
Sulfate or bluing tonic for hydrangeas is something you could look at.
There you go. Thank you for that.
Great.
Good luck.
Good luck, Tina. Jude is in Averley. Hi, Jude.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. Sabrina, apple tree.
Yes.
So I got two from a place in Guildford.
Yeah.
And so they're really good quality ones. This is their fourth winter, and they're planted next to each other as advised.
Yep.
They'd done nothing the first year, so they don't look any different in height or in kind of branches than when I got them. The first year I had, so it's a Granny Smith and a Golden Delicious.
And are they the dwarf ones or they're dwarf? Okay.
Yes. Yes.
So the thing about the dwarf trees is they're usually grafted on dwarf rootstock, and also the dwarf ones don't grow the way that the normal sized ones grow. So they have much shorter spurs. So they usually are a fair bit slower, but yours, are you saying they haven't fruited or flowered?
The first year they had one Granny Smith.
Yep.
Second year it had like a Barbie doll Granny Smith.
Yep.
And they have flowered.
But okay.
What I notice is that the Golden Delicious, well, the Golden Delicious actually been flowering, believe it or not, over the past few weeks.
Yeah.
They tend to flower slightly at different times, but just nothing's happening. And in the Golden Delicious, one of the, you know, when you've got a stem going up and then you've got three bits coming off.
Yes.
One of those is dead.
Okay. So Jude, apples are notoriously slow, and that's why people espalier apple and pear trees, because they're slow growing. Their trees that come in bare rooted come from Victoria usually. So it takes a little while for the trees to acclimatise to the Perth climate. I wouldn't worry too much about it, but the stem that's died back, I want you to prune that off. Definitely fertilize them this spring. I'd put compost on there and give them soil drenches that have got humic and fulvic acid and minerals in them. And you can apply that every month from spring onwards, and that should definitely help with flowering and fruiting.
Thanks for that, Jude. Good luck with it. And Darren is in Greenwood. Hello, Darren.
G'day, Darren.
Quick question about native plants. I've done a bit of research and it looks like people are saying
Ground. Darren, can you just go over that and go and stand on one leg? Your line's just dropping out.
Sorry. The PVC pipes to help watering the native plants, is that a thing or not?
Yeah, it is a thing and people do it, and it makes sure that there's water going down to the root system, because our soils are notoriously hydrophobic. That water hits them and then it just runs away. It just goes, I'm not going in there. So people use PVC pipes to put down to get water down near the root zone to encourage good root development. So it is a thing, yeah.
Okay, so it's definitely worth doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when you put the PVC pipe down, in the last 20 centimetres of the pipe, you drill holes. So it's not just the one hole at the bottom. You've got holes around the side.
Okay.
And that is definitely worthwhile.
Hey, that's helpful, yes?
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you, Darren.
Beautiful, Darren.
In the tricky line, we've got not one but two people on this line. This
is Jane and Stephen.
Hi.
So either Stephen's wanting to prune your oak tree and Jane's saying, no, you can't, or you've had a difference of opinion on something and I'm the adjudicator.
Yeah. Hello, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
We've got
three Algerian oaks.
Yep.
And I'm putting it on a block to marker.
Yeah.
And can we do truffle?
You can give it a go. Usually the oak trees, what they usually do is they inoculate the root system with the truffle fungus.
Yeah.
But, yeah, absolutely. I'd definitely give it a go because I reckon truffles would grow there.
Thank you. That's great. So you do it before, obviously, when you plant. They're only like 30 centimetres high.
Yeah, but that's good. That's excellent. And you sound young, so you're living long enough to see your oak tree grow.
Or the children.
No, definitely give it a crack. I reckon you'll have success.
Good luck with that, Jane.
Right, thank you.
Thanks, Jane and Stephen.
So have you got an email?
Look, I got an email during the week from a beautiful man who sent me an email about something that's very dear to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So it's from, we'll just call him Bill because that's his name, but I'm not going to give his last name. Hello, Sabrina. I am an 85-year-old longtime fan of your late night broadcast. That's Overnights with Trevor Chappell. Just moved into a retirement village in Kingsley. The gardens are cleaned and sterilised. Shrubs are hacked into submission and never allowed to bloom. The whole thing is just depressing. And old depressed people die earlier than happy people, I'm told. Is this a plot to speed up the housing turnover? How do we educate a yard cleaning service, who call themselves gardeners, about the beauty of flower gardens? Cheers from Bill. Bill, I am with you 100%, and I have done quite a bit of consulting in retirement villages and tried to get them to put in flowering plants, not hedges, where a so-called gardening company come along. They have a blower, a sucker, a chainsaw, a hedge trimmer, and that's about it. And that's so you go into these retirement places, some of them, and they want a low, no-maintenance garden. There is no such thing. So all the people that go into retirement places. They have come from blocks where they have gardens. They're big gardens. So they want to see birds and insects and flowering plants that attract life, because when you're 85, Bill, you haven't got that much longer going on. Like, you know, where I'm at that age now too. So we need to educate. I don't know what's happening in horticulture, but I do so many home consults where they've had a garden team come in and completely wreck their garden because they don't know anything about plants. So in retirement villages, we want trained horticulturalists. I recommend get women in because they don't just go, what's the biggest piece of machinery I can bring in here? They go, let's create a beautiful garden that makes people happy where they don't die at 86.
And I think the men of Roots and Shoots would probably just shamefully nod in agreement with you.
Absolutely.
That, yeah.
Put in, there is no such thing. If you want a low maintenance, no maintenance garden.
Concrete pavers.
Move into a bloody unit where there's just cement everywhere, because that's what that is.
Yeah.
We need to give back to nature because it's disappearing at a rapid rate. When old people or even young people go into retirement villages, for God's sake, let them see life, not someone coming with a hedge trimmer and pruning the hell out of everything so there is not a single flower in sight. And that's my rant for today.
I love it. We have a couple of lines available for you. If you would like to ask Sabrina a question, 1300 221025 is the number you need to call. Darren has called. Hi, Darren. What would you like to ask Sab?
Sabrina, yes.
Yes.
Darren from Beverly. I've got a Cape lilac tree.
Yeah.
And it's about a metre and a half from my shed.
Yeah.
It's about nearly 2 foot across at the bottom.
Yeah.
And I've got a big front loader. I was going to rip it out. But what I was...
Speaking of men with tools.
I want to get rid of it. But what I'm concerned about
is
I don't know how the root system works, because I don't want to rip up the floor of my shed, you know, because it's only a metre and a half. Do I have to dig between the shed and the tree and see if I can...
Have you got a recip saw?
No, just a chainsaw.
Yeah, chainsaws are no good in dirt, Darren.
Oh, right. Yeah, right. Or an axe or something like that.
But it depends how committed you are to an axe. Now, the root system on the lilac trees are not hardwood, so you might be able to hack through with an axe. If you've got a mate that's got a reciprocating saw, the blades go into dirt and cut through root systems really easily, much more efficiently than an axe. And the problem with an axe is, if the axe bounces back off the root, you could
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
yep.
Yes, Darren, you've been there, haven't you? I can tell. So I would have a little dig around right near your shed, see if there's any, you won't have to dig far, any big roots, get a recip saw, cut the roots off before you dig the tree up.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I was wondering how their root system works. Will they go straight down or will they go out sideways, and will they go under my shed, which they probably do?
Yeah, they'll go down, they'll go sideways, and they'll go under your shed.
Right. Well, that will solve the problem.
So that's just ruined your day, hasn't it, Darren?
Oh, digging the trench is going to be the hard part.
Oh, yeah.
The big front loader will pull it down, no trouble at all, but I don't want to wreck my shed.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I'd get the recip saw down in the dirt.
Good luck with that, Darren, and thanks for calling.
Bye.
Have fun. Linda is in Falcon. Hi, Linda. What's your question for Sab?
Good morning, ladies. Look, Sab, while I was away in Bali when the big storms hit, I've got very old Jarrah and Marri trees and very mature bottle brushes, but all the trees around me, there was a really, they all seem burnt on one side, all the leaves.
Yeah.
I'm really concerned that my trees aren't going to recover.
They will.
Yeah,
so it's wind burn. And my big trees, the same thing happened, Linda. And my sister lives near Falcon, and her garden just got absolutely walloped. So what will happen is the tree, it'll drop those leaves. We've had all this lovely, soft, gentle rain. Your trees will recover. I would actually put down a bit of native fertilizer to encourage some new growth, but they will recover.
Yep. Okay, that's all. As people move in, I'm like you, I hear nothing but chainsaws, and I just don't want to lose my trees.
Yep.
So thank you. I've just been worried about them. Yeah, thank you so much.
They'll recover, Linda.
Awesome, thanks.
Thanks, Linda.
It is that time again.
It is
Sabrina's musical pick of the week. Pick of the week.
I know you're going to dig this. Here we go now.
I know you're going to dig this.
I dig it all, don't
you do.
I?
You dig all week.
Yeah. I'm not so diggy diggy with the jazz, though, I have to say.
So jiggy jiggy with the diggy diggy.
No, I don't like the diggy diggy. I like the little stabby sabby.
Ah, yes.
Like that.
I need to get one of those.
Anyway, today we're going to listen to Orange Blossoms by Goldford.
Nice.
I got orange blossoms in the air right now.
Orange Blossoms there from Goldford. And William says, pick of the week, meh, sort of sounds like more like hippie dandruff. Hi, and back to the Q&A. Sue is in Nedlands. Hi, Sue. What's your question for Sab?
Oh,
there she is.
There she
Hello.
Is.
Sorry,
it was a good gardening song.
It was good, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was.
I think
it was a
good
gardening song.
Yeah.
Anyway, hopefully this is an easy one. My passion fruit's already putting out lots of new growth.
Yeah.
Is it too early to prune it?
You're in Nedlands? Nah, go ahead.
Okay, great. Because it's just been amazing. It only dropped its last passion fruits about a week ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
it's gone all through till now. So
yeah, you're not going to get any frost in Nedlands, Sue. I think you should be fine. And if it's showing you it's wanting to grow with new shoots, hack into it.
Okay, brilliant.
Yep.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Sue.
Thanks, Sue.
Oliver has had some feelings about the email from Bill. Hello, Oliver. What can you share with us?
Hi, I live in a unit and I've got a courtyard which is just full of pavers, and I can't really take the pavers out and plant anything in the ground. But I've been trying to think of putting some potted plants in, but the problem is I've got almost no sun in winter and then in summer only half of.
Oh, no.
So what can I do?
Okay. So, Oliver, anything that's deciduous won't care that it gets no sun in winter because it's gone into dormancy. All right? So deciduous plants will be okay. You can put in deciduous trees, deciduous shrubs. Some of the natives, you've got Tomasia, Coria, Dodonia, Darwinia, they will all grow where they're not getting any sun in winter but will get sun in the summer. So you actually do have quite a good choice to fill that courtyard.
Amongst those things that you mentioned, are there any that are going to be that will grow to some decent height or something, or am I expecting that they will be quite...
Absolutely. If you want, once the plant gets up to, say, 3 metres, in winter, will it get any sun at 3 metres high or not?
At 3 metres, depending on where I put it, but if I put it against the... Actually, no.
Oh.
Actually, No, think about it. Oh, 3 meters, it might.
Okay. So I'll give you a plant that will grow if you don't get any sun, and it will get to 3.5-4 meters, and it's called hibiscus apple blossom.
Hibiscus apple blossom.
Yeah, so that will grow in the shade. It'll grow in full shade. You could even put some of the camellias, the taller growing camellias, in pots there that will get that high.
Okay, thank you so much then.
Okay, no worries, Oliver. Thank you.
Good luck with it. And thanks to Joe, who has sent through a number of AI-generated images of Sab as a bog witch. They are funny and delightful. But I would just ask you, as the beautiful, dedicated Roots and Shoots audience, to be aware that every time you generate an image or ask a chatbot a question or train a new model, the underlying hardware of AI generates so much heat that data centres need to use millions of gallons of water every day to cool them. So I would ask you to use AI only if you absolutely need to. While it is good fun, it comes at a pretty great cost to the environment. Sharon is in Gooseberry Hill. Hi, Sharon.
Yeah, hi. How are you both?
Yeah, great, good, thanks. Sharon.
Good. I've got a question about powdery mildew.
Yeah.
I'm growing a few varieties of peas in my veggie beds.
Yeah.
Most of the plants have got some powdery mildew at the base of the plants. Most of the top of the plant is okay and they're flowering and producing peas. But I'm wondering if I should, obviously you can't treat the powdery mildew when it's raining.
No.
Do I wait until the rains have finished and then treat it, or do I just take off the bottom leaves?
I
have some plants that it's gone up most, like some of the smaller ones that haven't developed very well.
Yeah.
The powdery mildew has sort of creeping up most of the plant on those ones.
Okay, so take those out, Sharon. Remove the lower leaves, because the fungus, when water hits the fungus, the spores just go poof up further up the plant. Now, the organic sprays that you have for powdery mildew they're a deterrent. Once you've got powdery mildew, they do not stop the powdery mildew. I have found Condy's crystals very good at killing the powdery mildew. So potassium permanganate you can get from the chemist. And you only need half a teaspoonful in a litre of water, and you spray all the leaves, and it's completely safe for organic growing. I would do all your peas with that. And basically, when your peas first come up, the first cotyledons, the first two leaves, that's when you start spraying with the organic fungicides.
Okay, and so would you repeat the Condy's crystals, like do it obviously if it's raining over a period of time, would you just do it every time you can when it's
yes.
in between the showers sort of thing?
Yep, definitely.
Oh, lovely. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks, Sharon.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you. We have a couple of lines free, 1300 221 0025, if you would like to ask Sabrina a question, which Sarah from Yokine is going to do. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I would love to keep a frangipani plant that I have in a pot.
Yep.
And I just don't know whether that's possible.
Yeah.
We bought one last year and it was like a new one, so it's still in its little pot. I want to obviously repot it into a nice looking one.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Sarah, there's hardly any root system on frangipanis. When I've been in overseas gardens, I've seen frangipanis that are 200 years old that are still in a pot. So there's no problem whatsoever. Do not repot it until the weather warms up, though.
Okay. Yeah.
So come October, then put it in a bigger pot, good quality potting mix. You don't need to mix anything else in with it. Bit of slow-release fertiliser. Full sun and they're happy as.
Okay, beautiful. And the pot size, like, do we have to change it each year?
Like, No. About every 4 or 5 years, maybe. Once they're mature, then you can leave them in that pot for 25, 30 years.
Perfect. Oh, thank you so much.
Okay. No worries, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah. 1300 22 1025 is the number. And Kevin is in Hammersley. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, hello, ladies. How are you today?
We are sensational, Kevin. It's good gardening weather.
It is, actually, isn't it? Yeah. Anyhow, speaking of gardening, I want to move a Boston fern. It's in the ground.
Yeah.
About 0.8 of a metre high.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking fairly healthy. Can I move it now?
Do you have to move it now?
No.
This
is another one of those adjudicator things.
Well, okay. Now that I know I'm an adjudicator, I'll put on my wig. So Boston ferns move really, really well. So that's the good thing. They're a fern, they like the warm weather, Kevin. So don't do it this week. If you can wait just a little while, maybe even
springtime.
3 weeks. Yep. Is 3 weeks?
Springtime.
Yeah, spring. Perfect.
Okay.
Have the hole pre-dug so that you can dump it straight in. But they transplant really, really well.
Yeah, and compost in the bin?
Compost in the hole. Little bit of blood and bone. They love blood and bone. And they'll take off, Kevin.
Sweet. Okay, then. Thanks
okay.
For that.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
Bye.
What I didn't like to tell him, if it dies, it's his fault because because they transplant really well. Hope his missus wasn't listening to that bit. Never mind.
I'm very worried. Very worried. This one, love Nemesia as a child, but bought a punnet of seedlings and they're very fragile. Can you grow them in clumps, asks William.
Oh, my God, you can't get rid of Nemesias.
Oh, there you go.
They self-seed prolifically. They're not fragile. Yes, but you can definitely grow them in a clump, William. No problem at all.
Maybe they're just teeny tiny seedlings and they just need to get a little bit bigger.
Yeah, so, just shove the whole lot in.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, you were right on the money there, Amber.
Andy in Mosman Park says, a few weeks ago I asked about my KP mango tree that had rats stripping the bark. They kept stripping and the branches started dying. So I got out the chainsaw and cut off the top of a 95% prune. Is there any chance the tree will sprout new growth or is it history?
Did he send a picture?
I believe that.
Oh, Andy, what the hell is that?
That's something wrapped in chicken wire with a fish at the bottom of it. And I don't know, Andy.
Well, look, Andy, the fish is a terracotta fish and I reckon it's got more life in it than what your bloody mango tree has.
Oh, no.
Well, I don't know. I'd give it I would just keep it for now and see what happens this summer.
Okay. All righty. Good luck, Andy. Let us know how it goes or if we need to play the funeral march. Maggie is in Albany. Hi, Maggie.
Oh, hi, Sabrina and Amber. I'm living in a Colourbond jungle and I would appreciate some advice about tall, erect, native to plant to hide a shed.
Okay. All righty.
Side that get the shed shades it from the sun.
Yep.
It only gets sun very late in the afternoon and very early in the morning in the summer.
Okay. So you could have the Dodonia will grow there. You could also have Brainia, Brenyia. If the plant gets higher, will it get sun or not?
Oh, well, the shed's,
the shed's probably 4 metres, 5 metres high, is it?
These retired farmers like big sheds.
They do, Maggie. They do.
So do I, Maggie.
Yeah, well, you've got to fit your tractor in, don't you? Okay, so it's going to be hard finding really there is the native tuna tree, T-O-O-N-A, but it still requires a fair bit of sun. I've got a position like that and I was losing my pardalote birds.
Oh.
Well, because there's so much being cleared around me. Now, when I had millions of pardalotes, I had the hibiscus, apple blossom hibiscus. It will grow in full shade, full sun, gets to 4 metres high, has flowers, gets covered in aphids, and that attracts the pardalotes and all the little insectivore birds.
Because I have lots of New Holland honey eaters.
They will love it.
Oh, good.
I would put in a screen. The other thing that's native are lily pillies. But lily pillies, you know, the syzygium.
They make a mess.
They make a mess, but also their root system's pretty hairy. Well, not hairy, actually. It's quite smooth, but it's very voracious. I would put in a row of hibiscus apple blossom.
Right. What about viburnum dense fence?
Needs sun. If you put in dense fence, you're better off with dense fence needs quite a bit of sunlight. So there is another viburnum that's okay in shady areas, and it's the one with the softer leaf. I'm just rapidly looking up because I can't remember because I haven't used its name for a very long time. It's got the soft crinkly grey, the green leaf.
Apple blossom because it has a lovely flower on it, doesn't it?
Odoratissium. Viburnum odoratissium has beautiful perfume flowers.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then
the other one's Emerald Luster. So those two viburnums will grow in the shade.
Oh, thank you so much.
Good on you, Maggie. Good luck with that.
Pleasure, Maggie.
Shirley is in the field of forest. Hello, Shirley.
Oh, hello.
Hello, Shirley.
Hi. I have a magnolia tree about a meter away from my house.
Yeah.
And it is growing tall.
Yeah.
And when I look on the ground, it seems like the base is becoming big.
Yep.
So is that going to cause damage to my house? Do I need to dig it out?
Which magnolia is it, Shirley?
The flowers are small. Is that the gem? They are very fragrant, but they're only tiny flowers.
Okay, so, and is it evergreen or does it lose its leaves in the winter?
It leaves its the leaves in the winter.
Okay, you do not need to be worried about that magnolia at all.
Okay.
Yeah, so they don't have, it's the evergreen ones like the Magnolia grandiflora that if that was a metre from your house, I would recommend you move it, but not the deciduous ones. They don't have a very big root system at all, Shirley.
All right. Just because all the leaves are on the tree even in winter, that is a safe one. Is that what you meant by deciduous?
Deciduous means they lose their leaves in winter.
Okay, but this one, they stay put.
They stay there.
And they are safe.
But they're small flowers. They're not big white flowers.
No, just the little one. Very, okay. You know, just small one. They look like buds.
Yeah, okay. No. Okay, so they call the magnolias their Machelia. That's not a problem. That will be fine, Shirley. You can leave that one there. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Shirley. Okay.
Thank you, Shirley. Elizabeth in East Fremantle asks if it's too late to plant everlasting seeds.
No, because we've had rain and cold weather, and the time when you can plant everlastings actually goes on and on. I mean, if we get a 40-degree day in September, that might finish them off, but I don't think that's likely. So, no, still put them in.
Brilliant. And Nemesia Chap says it's perhaps his big cigar fingers. Hey, Kate is in West Leederville. Hello.
Hello, Kate. Hello, ladies. I've got lucky enough to have two of my mum's cycads. She's gone now, but they are beautiful. One is probably a foot and a half and 35 centimetres, you know, in the trunk.
Yeah.
But it's got 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 pups.
Yep.
And I'm not sure whether I don't want to lose a pop, but maybe I do have to crack it open to get the pups off. What's the best way of getting the pups off and the right time of year?
Okay, so now I have to tell you the likelihood of survival of growing the pups is quite low, about 30%. And you need to cut them off with either like a fine-tooth saw or your bread knife. If if you've gone, oh, I'm not going to eat bread anymore, I know what to do with this knife now.
Yeah, okay.
Because you have to get some of the skin of where the pup comes out, and you don't do it in winter. You've got to wait until spring.
Yeah.
Cutting the pups off will not kill the cycad, by the way, so the main plant is going to be fine. When you cut the pup off, don't put it in soil. It's important to put it in like a coir peat sphagnum moss mix. I would wait until October to do that.
Okay, brilliant.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Kate. Kirsty is in Margaret River. Hi, Kirsty. Whoa, button on. Hey, Kirsty, hello.
Hello.
Hello, Kirsty.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I have an area beside my lawn that's about 20 metres by 30 metres.
Yep.
It's in shade most of winter.
Yep.
And I'd like to do a mass planting, either a ground cover.
Yep.
Or low shrub.
Yep.
And the only thing is maybe not too much foliage to fall as there's a drain near there.
Okay, but you want...
Along the driveway.
Okay, but you want it as a ground cover.
Yes, at the moment it's just capeweed and I'd love to smother it out.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Maintain that area.
Definitely. Okay, so there is there's Myoporum parvifolium, Myoporum parvifolium, and I would get the broadleaf Myoporum, so there's that one. There's Myoporum insular, as in N-U-I-N-S-U-L-A-R-E.
Okay.
There's also Dichondra, but that will take a while to establish. So they're really the best. There's a Grevillea that if you can put it in the winter time, it should take off, and it's called Bronze Rambler.
Is that the spiky one?
No.
No, okay.
That's Crithmifolia. I don't like that one.
Crithmifolia?
No, I don't want spiky.
That sounds like Christmas with a lisp.
It does sound like Christmas with a lisp. It's a big grower, though. It takes over your whole Christmas tree. They'd be... Sorry, we're just being stupid. They would be my pick for dense coverage.
Great.
Happy? Are you a happy customer?
That sounds good.
Oh, you're a good woman. Thank you for that.
Thanks very much.
Let's rip through a couple of texts.
Yes.
Blah, 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 blah. Hi, Sabrina. Love your rant. Totally agreed with you. Low maintenance gardens are
rubbish.
Rubbish. They give no soul. They lack beauty with no colour or scent. These senses that arouse memories and make you feel good. Wish you'd team up with Maggie Beer. Old age and old age care homes and care homes would be a lot better with you two, you and Maggie. And love Amber. Your show, says that. And
her.
Sheila says, totally agree with Sabrina on the state of retirement villages gardens. I'm not in one yet, and God, I don't want to be. But if you can see bird life and listen to a symphony of frogs outside, it would have to be miserable without that. Tell the oldies in retirement villages they need to protest. Look, you know, we'll lead the charge.
Yeah, I'll be front and centre.
I'll bring my Zimmer frame.
I'll bring my stabby sabby.
Stabby sabby. Oh, another question. Why not the native hibiscus for the lady wanting tree?
Because native hibiscus will not grow in full shade. It will be sorrowful and die.
This is great. I have a jacaranda in a big ot. I assume that's a pot that's been there for at least 25 years. Grew it from a seed. Oh. Does very well, says Diane in Forest Field.
Oh, that is great. I love growing stuff from seed.
Yeah, congratulations. The sporty boys are standing by getting ready to come in here, but I think I can squeeze in another question. Barb in Geraldton, I'm not even sure if it's a question, says, morning, ladies. Yes, spot on, Sat. The best part of my day is a cup of tea, walking around the garden in the morning. The hakeas are in flower. The honey eaters are loving all the Eremophilas. I'm lucky to live on 5 acres with a huge native garden. It's my therapy. It's so sad to go to garage sales where they have a magnificent garden and the kids have all decided it's too much for them now. Little do they know it's actually keeping them alive, says Barb.
I'm with you, Barb. Let's get gardens in retirement villages that are proper gardens. Let's keep the 85-year-olds alive and happy until they're 95.
Get them a pack of, no, not secateurs, because you don't want them out there primping and pruning.
Yeah, no,
everything.
They want to be out there pimping.
Primping?
Primping. Primping! I meant primping! Definitely not pimping!
Oh, Sabrina Hahn and Amber Cunningham, we will be back next week with more of the same. We love your company and thanks for being so gorgeous to us. It is our absolute joy. It is 10 o'clock, time for news.
Thanks for listening. You can join us live on Saturday morning from 9 o'clock or Tuesday afternoons at 20 past 2. Tune in on your radio on 102.5 FM or on the ABC Listen app. Just look for the ABC Perth live stream. And that's also your chance to get in your own gardening questions. Give us a call on 1300 22 1025 or text 0437 22 1025. Catch you next time.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.